Welcome to the Feudal Podcast. We're going to talk about some stuff for a while.
Is that like a new movie? Fair game?
No, it's a Cindy Crawford, William Baldwin, Billy Baldwin. The youngest of the Baldwins. No, wait, second youngest. Stephen Baldwin's younger than Billy Baldwin.
Good to know.
It goes Alec, Daniel, or maybe Daniel, Alec, William, Stephen. Let me look it up. It's that important.
I gotta know.
Baldwin brothers.
It's depressing that you don't have any more Samoas.
You can eat all of those.
I'm not going to eat all of those.
You can't.
I feel really good.
No, seriously, I don't want them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, Alec is the oldest, then Daniel, then William, then Stephen.
Crazy. Alec?
I wonder what William's up to these days. I know Stephen's in, like, shows and stuff.
Which one's the one that always does sci-fi movies?
What?
Sci-fi movies.
What do you mean?
Just, like, sci-fi original movies.
No, it's probably Daniel, then.
Oh.
Billy Baldwin was in Flatliners and Backdraft. That Baldwin.
Okay.
And then Fair Game, of course. He was a popular guy for a time. But he's in like crap ever since Fair Game, basically. Gosh. What a terrible waste of talent. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
He was in The Squid and the Whale.
Samoas are so good.
Gosh, Billy Baldwin. Billy Baldwin. Billy Baldwin.
Billy.
He is married to Shina Phillips of Wilson Phillips. The hottest of Wilson Phillips. Not the fat one. What was her name? Carney Wilson.
I don't know anything.
Carney Wilson was the fat one of Wilson Phillips. She's not so fat anymore. She lost a lot of weight. Her dad is Brian Wilson.
Hey.
The Brian Wilson.
Hey.
You know who that is, right?
The name sounds familiar.
The Beach Boys guy. Brian Wilson.
Right.
Okay. You know Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson, smile?
Yeah.
Beach Boys?
The Beach Boys guy.
Good vibration.
One of his daughters is Carney Wilson.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
And she was in Wilson Phillips.
Uh-huh.
China Phillips.
Just hold on for one more day.
Who was in... Who was the daughter of two of the people in The Mamas and the Papas.
Yes.
Right. Anyway, Shania Phillips is married to William Baldwin. Has been since 95.
And what happened to him?
I was just looking that up. Now, strange that you mention it. William Baldwin has done jack shit with his life since Fair Game, which I recently watched.
Mm-hmm.
And I can kind of see why. He's not a bad actor. He kind of just does...
Well, he was in Backdraft, and he was in...
he was in Virus... with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Well, it seemed like...
He was in Born the 4th of July.
He was like the one... He was like the Baldwin that got the turn for a while.
He had promise.
And Stephen kind of came around
did
and did...
Stephen did the goofy thing.
And then did... And
but
then,
he was also in Usual Suspects.
And now he's
Daniel
like
a, was in crap. The biggest movie I think Daniel might have ever been in was Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. He was a bad guy in that.
A bad guy, yeah.
That's a great movie.
Set in the future for no reason so they can make up a drug.
Yeah.
I always just call it Marlboro Man. I shorten it whenever
you
I'm talking
like
about.
Harley
I'm talking tomorrow. Whenever I'm talking to Windsor about it.
Anyway, so William Baldwin, here's his look. So in action movies, let's say after Bruce Willis kills somebody in one, any of his movies, he kind of gives it a he's got the badass face like, what did I just do? Oh yeah, I killed you, like that sort of thing because he looks at the blood all over him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
William Baldwin's face after he kills anyone in the movie is bug-eyed shock and horror, and that doesn't work for an action hero.
Yeah, but it works for, like, something more realistic.
So here's how Fair Game starts, right?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter. Here's what soon happens after Fair Game starts.
Okay.
Selma Hayek is Billy Baldwin's ex-girlfriend. And she comes in, and she's super angry. And she's like, you need to get your shit out of my apartment. Except for she says it with the Spanish accent. Uh-huh. English, Spanish, and Spanglish. And he goes, hey, listen, can we talk about this somewhere else? And, meanwhile, some... dude had brought in a guy for he was a bail bondsman had brought in some guy that
bondsman.
He caught, and Billy Baldwin keeps looking over at the guy because he sees that the guy wearing the jumpsuit is like buying the bail bondsman's gun, and so he finally pulls out the gun, he starts smacking people, and he puts a gun to the guy's head. And Billy Baldwin, here's how you introduce an action hero, right? This is the first scene he's in. He beats some guy's ass. So what he does is he's like, He throws Selma Hayek to the ground. He's like, get out of the way. And he ends up beating the guy up and, like, throwing him through a computer and stuff. Mm-hmm. This movie has the worst lines. It's not even, like... Oh, I don't even know what to tell you. Here's an example of how bad the lines are. Mm-hmm. So, basically, the plot is this. Cindy Crawford is a lawyer, a divorce lawyer in
Miami.
They
needed a movie to put Cindy Crawford
in. Yeah, a single female lawyer.
And they took advantage of it. She looked pretty... I mean, I watched the whole movie with, you know, kind of half wood. And I don't know if it was because of her or Baldwin. Baldwin looked pretty good in it. So she is this divorce lawyer, civil lawyer, and she basically somehow gets targeted by some Russian mobsters or something, some ex-KGB guys who are trying to tap a wire under the ocean and steal the money from a wire transfer. So like $900 million or something like that. You know,
that's pretty clever, though.
Oh, yeah, it's a good idea. I bet a lot of people tried it after watching Fair Game.
I mean, for a crappy action movie, yeah. It seems like it's a pretty good idea, like for, you know, the kind of scheme.
And they're doing it on a diehard movie. They're doing it on a boat that she had been trying to repossess because it belongs to a client that she was defending or something like that. And so for that, she gets targeted. It doesn't make sense, but... so she happens to be shot at one day while she's jogging seductively in slow motion in the beginning of the movie, like this, on the strip, right? And, she doesn't think she got shot at. She thinks some glass just broke behind her and it slashed her arm. Like, so she's in there doing paperwork. And right after Billy Baldwin beats the crap out of the guy who stole the gun in the office, his boss comes up, who's Shooter McGavin. He goes, now that you're all warmed up, there's a girl waiting for you in room 4. We need you to process her paperwork. Like that would ever happen, you know, after Jeff, you just like had a shootout with a guy in the police station. And so he goes in there and he's like, damn, you know, like they give each other the damn look, like, oh, that person's attractive.
Wait, you mean Cindy Crawford gives him the damn look?
Yeah,
too?
She kind of does, too.
So they just kind of throw that out
already?
They don't even give you any, like,
She does it at the beginning. The rest of the movie, she doesn't do it until suddenly she inexplicably kisses him 3/4 of the way through, and then they have sex in a moving train while someone's aiming a gun at him.
Just like real life.
Yeah. I'm sure that was how
happened to me, like, 2 days ago.
So,
and you know what? Trains are rare these days.
Yeah, they really are. So, She's using all his phones and fax machines and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is how stupid he is. Like, oh, and I guess it's also a sign of the 90s, whenever it was made. He goes in there and...
can't figure out the fax,
like,
machine.
He's like, I need you to... So can you tell me what happened? She's like, nothing. No one shot at me. Just the glass broke. And now I'm here wasting my time. And she's like, yeah, Cindy, I gotta... Yeah, make sure you hold the paperwork and on the phones. And then, like, another phone rings and he goes, Kirkpatrick. And he goes, oh, it's for you, you know. And she's like, thanks. And then, like, another phone rings and he's like... Well, he's messing around with the
cool
phone.
Play with it, but I need it for this.
He's messing around with the phone.
Not now, but just in the end.
And then she's like, she gives him a look like, hey, you retard. And then she goes, it's a fax machine. Maybe you've heard of one. He's like, oh. Like, the movie's so, that was terrible.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway, from there, she you know, they blow up her house, basically. She turns on headline news, and they do one of these puns. Her cat, she opens up her window, and she stands out on the balcony, and she's all, it's like a hot Miami night, you know, and she's like, hey, kitty, want to watch headline news with me? And the cat goes, and starts running away. She goes, come on, it's not going to kill you. And she turns on the TV, and the house blows up, right? And it shoots her out into the lagoon that's in front of her house, the river, whatever it is.
And she's like,
Baldwin had just happened to drive up at that time. And so had this guy who was, you know, was the guy who was making sure that it blew her up.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he jumps into the river and saves her. And then this whole thing happens where the whole movie is basically him trying to keep her safe while all these Russian guys and people working for the Russian guys are trying to kill her and him, and they end up killing every single person he knows, his cousin, all the cops who aren't him, like everyone, like kind of incidentally. And he keeps getting kind of pissed, but then he's like, oh, I forgive you, you know.
That initial premise sounds like it could be exciting, like a chase.
It's a terrible movie. Yeah,
like, no, but it's, I mean, No Country for Old Men, a bunch of guys are chasing after a guy,
sounds like,
you know,
a good premise, right?
So, but they just didn't execute it with shit, huh?
Sounds like a good premise. And so then anyway, so the only lines I remember, this is how bad it was he goes, I need to meet with some FBI guys. And they're like, fine, we'll set you up with some FBI guys. He's like, that's the only way I'm going to turn her in. So they get to this building where you park your car, and these FBI guys get out.
Oh, you've got to do a video podcast. Maybe. Because the hand motions you're making right now are fantastic. So with the tats, too.
The FBI guy comes up, and he goes, so you're in the FBI, huh? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, prove it. And he shows him his badge, and he smiles. And he looks at the badge suspiciously, and he goes, okay, that's good enough for me. So then they get in the cars, and then it turns out that they're not FBI. They were just, it was a trick.
It was just
from
like a box of Captain
Crunch. And he sees his partner's dead, and he freaks out, and he kills everyone really violently, too, like, so much blood. And And then he's driving away with her, and he goes, damn it. He goes, I don't know why that didn't work. He goes, I did everything I was supposed to. I checked his badge. And he doesn't continue from there. Mm-hmm. Like, everything he was supposed to do was just check his badge.
Well, that's maybe how that was a joke.
No, it wasn't a joke. It was played dead serious.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, you know, long story short, they have sex on a train. And then they end up on the boat, and they jump off the boat, and everyone who was trying to kill them explodes in the boat. And then, you know, they make some wisecracks about how they didn't get finished having sex before, so now they're going to do it on the boat, James Bond style, before anyone picks them up. Because they're on another boat now. It's, cool. It was just bad.
No, sounds like a good one. I'm glad I missed out on it. Wow. You okay there? You look like you're...
Billy Baldwin's 45 now. But yeah, after Backdraft and stuff, you know, I think they thought, fair game, this is going to be huge.
Yeah, I caught the end of Backdraft on
TCM. He was in Flatliners?
A while ago. Yeah, he was in Flatliners.
Let's see, he was in Sliver.
Sliver.
He was in Bullworth, uncredited. He was in Virus, that's right, he was the main guy in Virus. After that, he was in a whole bunch of crap, Squid and the Whale. And then,
Wait, William Baldwin's in Squid and the Whale?
Yeah, Billy. He was Ivan.
Oh, really? He was the tennis guy.
Yeah. I was wondering, though, like, you know, what has Daniel done, really, besides get addicted to drugs?
Because he was in a couple of seasons of Homicide on NBC.
Right, he was on Homicide back in the day.
Back in the day. That was a long time ago.
Anyway, so Blaine and I watched Fido last night.
Mm. What the hell was that about again?
It's a Canadian zombie movie about an alternate history timeline where some point during the 40s, or I guess it was during World War II, about that time.
Well,
when World War II would have happened. Yeah. In like the 30s or 40s, space dust fell to Earth and reanimated every dead corpse on the Earth.
So this is a period film? It's like in the 40s?
It's set in the 50s. In the 50s. So sometime in the 30s this happened. And basically, and they tell you with this film that starts the thing, they say not only does it reanimate dead people, but as soon as you die, you become a zombie. And it's just a fact of life. And it's telling you this with this happy company.
Yeah, even after film. The war.
The whole movie is very like quirky and happy, like with music's like...
It's a dumb name for...
Well, it's because the guy names his family zombie Fido,
and basically like all it's zombies like are like
zombies are like servants, pets or servants.
Servants, pets. Yeah.
They defies this collar that when the lights are on, it controls it. When it comes off, they go crazy.
They go brains.
And the only way you can kill a zombie by shooting its brain or cutting its head off. That
decapitation.
Thing.
Yeah.
So you can
if
you
want to be sure.
You can get an actual funeral if you're really rich in this world. They cut your head off and then they bury you in a head coffin. And the funeral's kind of funny. The movie wasn't very well directed because a lot of the things that were supposed to be jokes ended up not being very funny.
Wait, I don't understand. Couldn't the zombie problem be solved by them just cutting everybody's head off?
They
not everybody, but I mean, they cut all the heads off of all the living zombies, and then when someone dies, they just cut their head off before they get up.
They figured they could be.
They capitalize on it.
Is it sort of a subversive comment on like class warfare and like
no, there's
well actually
the great unwashed.
The mom of
zombies.
The family is Carrie Ann Moss, and she wants a zombie because she feels like they're not high enough society. Their new neighbor moves in. It's the security expert for Zomcom, which is the big company.
It owns like everything.
Yeah, they own
like everything in their society is made by Zomcom.
And all cities are enclosed by a nice big fence. Zombies can't get through, and they're linked to other cities. But in between is like the something zone, the
wild zone. Zone.
Yeah, and which zombies just kind of roam free.
And that's where you go when you die.
But it's a very like happy, lighthearted movie. Besides the fact that every once in a while a zombie breaks free of its thing and brutally murders someone. And there actually were some pretty funny moments.
No, is it the case where the zombies infect people?
No.
But when you die, you become a zombie. That's it.
If you get bit, you don't become a zombie.
If you're shredded, then you won't become one. Okay.
Yeah, you die, and then you become one. And there's a few of the sight gags ended up being funny. This part where this one kid became a zombie, and Carrie Ann Moss came to save her son who had been tied to a tree, and these two kids were going to kind of torture him and his
because
his
he had become a zombie.
No, they were going to torture these two kids that loved Zomcon, and the main kid never did.
They're like Zomcon Boy Scouts, basically.
Okay,
and they don't like
so Zomcom's kind of like the equivalent, some kind of Nazi thing, and these kids
like Hitler Youth or something.
No, it's
I'm trying to make it better than it is, aren't I?
No, you're not making it. You're making it worse than it actually
making it more
was.
Convoluted and
Okay. So anyway, like it's the funny scene because this fat kid who looks like Pugsley Adams is like suddenly turned into a zombie because he got shot by his brother accidentally when they're trying to shoot Fido, and it just kind of goes through him because he didn't hit him in the head. You know, he just kind of looks at it.
Oh wait, I don't think he. Do you understand? Like, no matter what way you die, you turn into a zombie.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Unless they shoot you in the head.
Well, yeah.
Because if your brain's destroyed, the zombie can't come back to life.
True. So, yeah. So, if your body's to such a degree of irrevocable
damage. Yeah, and whatever kind of degree of, you know, the way your body looks when you died, that's how you're going to look the rest of your zombie.
Except life. Blue.
Anyway, so the funny-looking shot is the Carrie Ann Moss comes into the scene, and the kid's about to bite, and she picks him up, and, like, she picks up the Pugsley Adam guy and just kind of, like, hurls him into the bushes. And it looks, and it was obviously, like, a big doll. And that looked kind of funny. There's a couple other funny shots like that and a couple other, I don't remember any other funny lines, really. But
I don't know.
Cover of the movie says, like, all these quotes. Hysterical, you know, ravingly funny, gut-bustingly, you know, hilarious, just wonderful. And it was just kind of boring.
It wasn't nut-bustingly funny.
There was some pretty funny lines, like, when they're showing that movie in the class.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy came in and he's like, and what happens when you die? And the kids are like, you die, or something like that. I don't know. It was just like,
that's the thing, is that they weren't delivered very well. Like, they just stayed on a long medium shot instead of, like, gone in tighter on a kid as they confusedly said that. Yeah, he's like, the zombie
when you're killed, comes in and says, or something.
Yeah, he says something like, you're either a zombie or you're dead when you die. And he goes, and we all know what happens when we die. And a couple of kids, like, in the same time, kind of go, you die? And he's like, that's right. Like, they were just kind of, like, answering off the top of their heads, and he's like, that's right. So there was, you know, there's some funny moments.
Yes.
But they were...
And the violent moments weren't that violent or anything either. It wasn't really, like...
So what wasn't was either
a
point?
Zombie or a comedy?
There's no plot, really.
No, I mean, like was there, like a main character that had, like,
the
to do some?
The kid. And
did the kid come to a conclusion about the zombies?
And there's the problem with his father is deathly afraid of zombies. He never wanted one around the house because he ended up having to kill his own father. Like, everyone had to kill their own family back when the zombie thing happened, I guess, 20 years ago. Yeah. And their next-door neighbor had killed over 500 of them, and that's why he was a war hero. And anyway, so he, you know... Then at the very end of the movie, he's like, oh, I haven't been a very good father, and he goes and gets himself killed, and Carrie Ann Moss just wants, she wants them to be a happy family together, but she wants to be have the elite status as well, but she ends up being a lot more of a protagonist character than she's made out to be in the beginning, and then this kid, I don't know what the kid exactly wants, I don't know what his goal was exactly, he just wants everyone to leave Fido alone.
I think he just wants, like, because everybody at school, they're not his friends, he's like... You know, a strange kid, and he just wanted a friend, pretty much, and that's Fido, I guess.
He's a strange kid because he's always asking questions about zombies, and during the class meeting in the beginning, he says, like, what about everyone who was buried deep enough above the below the ground that they still haven't been able to get out yet, and they're still clawing toward the surface? And the guy just stares at him, doesn't answer, and they're like, well, that's enough for today, let's see everyone later.
Well, but most people are buried about 6 feet, that's it.
Right, and well, he said, what about people who are below that? And the guy just isn't answering, he just kind of stares at him, like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Someone will show up eventually.
Yeah, so...
Or they'll die again. Basically, if brain damage is what kills a zombie, then asphyxiation should kill it, so all the ones that are buried 6 feet under, do they get super strength or something?
No,
Just hand waving. Yeah,
just, I don't know.
No, it's like a physics lecture over here.
They still kind of just it's the moaning, walking slowly zombie thing. And yeah, they never say brains or anything. But
no brains.
But the Fido.
They do want brains.
They say change.
This kid's such a good friend to his own zombie that they get, and he talks to him about his past life. And this zombie seems to be understanding him, and like he becomes really good friends with him, and they joke around and play and stuff. And some point near the middle of the film, when his neck thing gets undone, he doesn't kill the kid. Like he's like learned how to not do it at that point. And so
it's a learned.
There's something about how like even the undead can be friendly and family.